Podcast Studios is the home of Head Stuff Podcasts. It's where lots of our shows are recorded and where we work on production, promotion, video, live shows, and lots more. In our studios here in Dublin City Centre, we work with everyone from international brands to government organisations, charities to arts groups, entrepreneurs to hobbyists. So if you'd like us to help tell your story in a creative, professional and engaging way, you can find out more at thepodcaststudios.ie.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey guys, and welcome to Personality Bingo with me, your host, Tom Moran. So this week on the podcast, we have the brilliant Erica Rowe. Erica is an actor, a theatre maker and a co-founder of the Breadline Collective. At the moment, she is in prep alongside Thomas Kane Byrne to launch Say Nothing to No One at the Project Arts Centre. If you're listening to this on the Sunday that it comes out, you are just in time. Get your tickets to go and see this show. It starts this coming Monday and it runs until Saturday at the Project Arts Centre in the Cube there. It's an unreal show. It's great crack. It's real authentically their voice. Thomas's voice, who's just such an exciting writer coming up in Dublin. If you haven't already listened to his episode, go back and do it. It's a handful of episodes ago, but again, it's another belter. And go out and get stuck into it, because as a piece of theatre, it's just real solid. It's real good. You're going to have the crack. And the lads are great. So go and support that this week at the Project Art Centre. In terms of other work that Erica has been up to, she's also done, as a part of a trilogy of these plays, actually, again, written by Thomas and with the Breadline Collective, she's done Well That's What I Heard, which was, again, another unreal play. As we talk about in the episode, Thomas's voice as a writer is just really... defined already at such an early point in his career, which is kind of incredible. And Erica has been such a pivotal part of that. Her performance in both of these plays is unbelievable. And if you're not around this week and you're going to miss out on this, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, don't worry, go check her out and Taken Down. It's on RTE. It's the new Stuart Carolan show, creator of Love Hate, and again, another play about like important issues and at the same time just pure like pure good, pure heartening. It's about the refugee crisis in this country and the way we treat and often mistreat the people that are coming into our country, and just kind of how it's not good enough anymore. So I encourage you to go and check that out. So lads, enough from me. Please enjoy the brilliant Erica Rowe playing Personality Bingo with Tom Moore. Erica Rowe, ready to play Personality Bingo?
Oh, I am.
All right, sweet. Okay, so a quick explanation of how it all goes. I've got 60 minutes on the clock. I've got 60 balls in here and 60 corresponding questions. I've also given you a sheet of paper there with five numbers on it. Would you do me a favour and read out the five?
Yeah, 9, 44, 60, 12 and 23.
Unreal. I'm going to ask you one other favour. Could you pick a six number, something between 1 and 60 that's not already there?
47.
Okay. Any reason for 47?
No, just popped into my head.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Scribble it down and we'll go from there. All right. Here we go. Number 14. Do you have it?
No.
No worries. Number 14. Do you consider yourself a creature of habit?
Yeah, I think so. I like to try and kind of break out from like doing things out of habit. But yeah, no, I definitely am. I'm a Taurus as well, and we're known for kind of being... Are you a Taurus?
Yeah.
Well? Yeah.
What date?
The 15th of May.
15th, okay, I'm the 4th.
Oh, right, yeah. So yeah, we're known for being stubborn and doing things that we're used to doing all the time. But like I was saying to you earlier on, like even coming in here, I was a bit nervous, but I was like, no, do you know what? I have to break out of doing things that I'm just comfortable doing and do something out of the unknown.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, are you good in your horoscopes? Like, can you tell me about what is a Taurus?
A Taurus is someone, well, we're the bull of the zodiac, we're the second sign in the zodiac, and we're ruled by Venus, I'm going to say.
Okay.
I think so, yeah, I think it's Venus, and Yeah, we're known for being stubborn, and when we're in relationships, we're very loyal in friendships. Mm-hmm. We're an earth sign, and that's all I really know, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, so it's like stubbornness, like habitual loyalty, yeah. It's those kind of things.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think we're a passion sign, I'm not sure. Like when we love and...
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, I really feel like that with me. Like if I'm doing, like there's a phrase that the lads where I'm from say, it's like full duck or no dinner. Like, and that really makes sense for me. Like if I'm doing something, I'm really fucking doing it.
Oh,
like
yeah,
I'm absolutely going for it.
Yeah.
Like it'll be full on. And if I'm not, then...
Not at all. Like it's just like, oh no, I'll just forget about that now. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like everything I do it with a lot of like vigor. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I'm a little bit like that as well. Like, but you know what as well? Tauruses are also lazy, and I do feel like I'm quite lazy sometimes.
Okay.
Like, but like that as well. If I am going for something, I will go for it.
Mm.
I think as well, like that was like the thing with acting as well. Like I was doing it, and I know like everyone, well not everyone, but a lot of people have to do like a part-time job, like as well as acting. And I was working in a, what's it called? Call centre.
Yeah.
How can I think of that? But I was working in a call centre part time, and I was just absolutely miserable. And I was like, if I want to do acting, I think I just need to like stop that and just try go for a full head on and just do it. And ever since I actually left that job, like other jobs have been falling into my lap. Like I feel like I am a hard worker, but like I feel like a lot more opportunities have arose for me after giving up the part time job. And I don't know if that's because I have more time and I'm more of a lookout now. But yeah
it's funny, like that's really interesting that you say that, like just for me, like at the moment, because in like different aspects of my life, it's just trying to like make space for the things you really want.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And it's nearly like, in a way, if you're, you know, and obviously if you're in a position where you can do that, then do it. But like obviously loads of people can't because they need to pay their rent or whatever the fuck it is. But
yeah, I'm lucky I live at home, like, so right. I don't have a rent bill hanging over my head, like, do you know what I mean?
But it's amazing that, yeah, like even just like, not to be, fuck it, you know, like I was gonna say not to be too wanky about it, and I was like, I don't care, let's go for it. But like you know, you just it's out there, you kind of open that space up for the universe to fill it with something you really want to do.
And I am the biggest believer of the like the law of attraction. Like I think if you think of something that you're going to, if you put it out to the universe, it will come back to you. And I don't know if like it's the actual universe giving it to you or you doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
But like I watched this program on there's a new network called Gaia, and it's like it's all like kind of about spirituality and stuff like that. It's an app on your phone. You can watch like just this thing called Ancient Civilizations, and like there's, I don't know why I'm talking about this. Jeez, I actually haven't said this to anybody, but it's they like in every single ancient religion, like they talk about the tree of life. And in this program, they're like, people are always wondering what the tree of life is. Is it an actual tree? And then in this, they talk about you being the tree of life, you as a human being the tree of life, and what you do is always going to come back to you. Like you do everything for yourself. And am I making sense here?
Yeah.
Like you are the actual tree of life, and you are the universe, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean, what when you say, because when you say the law of attraction, right, because I'm totally open to all of this, I'm not sure I understand it well. So like, what does that, so like, right, for example, let's just say, right, you're going to be in Taken Down, right, in a couple of weeks. That's a real cool job, right?
Yeah.
Let's just say you wanted to attract a real cool job into your life. Something like, I want to be on an RTE, like primetime series, right? So like, what would, if you're trying to like, bring that into your life in that law of attraction way, what are the actual practical steps to like doing that?
I don't know if there is actual practical steps.
It's just,
I remember at the start of the year, like I was just kind of saying to myself, like without being cocky, I was like, I'm gonna be in a program by the end of the year. I just had it in my head. I was like, I need to do this for myself. I said, I am going to do it. And I think, if it's just in your head and if you keep on putting it out there, it is going to come back to you. Like,
Yeah. Sweet. Love it. All right, let's give it a spin. All right, here we go. Number 34. Do you have it?
34, no.
No worries. Number 34, do you cry often?
No, do you know what? Like, I'm actually dreadful. I very, very rarely cry. That's what Thomas Cainborn, he's always saying to me, like, the only time I will ever cry is when I'm on stage. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I suppress so many emotions. I can literally cry with a click of a finger on stage. And it's actually because I don't cry in real life.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I could be having the biggest argument with someone and I'd just be, like, staring blankly at them, or if something really, really, really sad happens, I'd be like, I just can't cry. I don't know what it is. And And it's really bad because you should express your emotions. And actually recently I did have a really big cry, and after I felt great. Like I felt amazing after. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just the way I was brought up or something. I don't know. We just don't really express emotion that often, which is terrible.
Yeah, but this is so interesting. Okay, so two things. First of all, with the acting example, right, of like, so when you were going to cry, as in, do you, like, is it a thing of simply like where, okay, you're in rehearsals and the director's kind of like, I think this is like the emotional, you know, high point of the piece. So like, if tears come here, like, let them come and you can just, like, what's the process of switching them on? It's just like, I know I have to do it. So
I No, I don't think it's, I think it is like thinking on past experiences that I haven't cried over.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're like a camel storing up your emotional trauma.
I know, yeah. It's, but it is, it's disgraceful. And I'm one of the big, like, I always say to people, all the time, like, if you feel that way, just let people know. Like, and I'm the worst. I won't do it. I'm a blocker.
Right.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. I get you. So, and like, what, when the rare times when you do actually cry in real life, let's say, what is there a pattern to what gets you there? Like, what's the thing that will get past that wall, say, that's stopping you crying more often?
I don't know, actually. I genuinely don't know. It's just like, yeah, maybe it's just the build up of stuff, and I'm like, eventually, like, this needs to come out, like, at some stage.
Yeah.
But I am very good at blocking things out, and it's disgraceful.
Well, it's just interesting, like.
I think as well, like, sorry, I'm not interrupting you.
No, please.
My nanny used to always say, like, she was big, very religious, like, and I think as well in a lot of working class areas, like the Catholicism or whatever, like, she was. I was used to saying, if we were crying when we were kids, she'd be like, don't let Holy God see you crying. And I don't know, maybe that has.
Well, yeah.
Maybe that has stuck with me. I'm not religious at all, like, but maybe that has always just stuck with me. And
do you know what your granny meant by that? Like, why she thought that God wouldn't want to see you cry?
I don't know, like, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just fascinating.
Yeah.
That's real interesting.
Yeah.
I bet that did, because it's amazing how stuff, like, when you hear when you're a kid, and even though, like, she probably meant that fairly innocuous and just meant, like, cheer up. That's probably all she meant.
Yeah.
But, like, it's mad how you're, like, little, you know, developing brain can just hear that and, like, associate it with, like, oh, yeah, like, we don't do that.
Yeah, no, we shouldn't cry. We should be happy all the time, which we shouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's funny, because you don't strike me as someone who, like, would pretend to be happy all the time.
I know, I wouldn't pretend to be happy. Like, if I'm in the horrors, everyone knows about it. Like,
I get that, yeah.
Emotionally, like if I'm sad, I think I would try and, like, pretend I'm all right.
Yeah.
But if I was angry, like, everyone knows.
Yeah, it's funny, because I have that in, like, I have it in me way less now, but it's even still there. Like when I was growing up, like, I really was, like, always very smiley. Like, I have a lovely smile, and I don't say that in, like, a compliment myself way. I have it because it was a big defense mechanism for me growing up, because I knew if I can just flash this bad boy, like, no one will see how fucking devastated I am.
That is what it is. So it's just like, if you look like you're all right, then you're all right, and that shouldn't be the way it is at all. And I am trying to break that as well. Like, it's like, no, you should let people know how you're feeling, because it's hard.
Yeah.
But
you know, when you talked about that time recently when you did have the big cry, and, like, and it was really funny. I was hanging out with two doctors last night, right?
Yeah. Random.
Real random. especially when I'm not giving any more context, but I'm just going to let that float mysteriously there. They were talking about how one of the guys, they're actually in their last year at medical school, and they were talking about how one of the guys in their class had a tumour in his brain, and, like, really serious, like, they did not think he was going to survive.
Yeah.
He had this big major operation. He somehow survived. He's, like, totally mentally intact in a way that they weren't sure that he would be. He's got all his facilities, an amazing recovery, but he's in the class now, and they're all kind of, like, are treating him like a case study nearly. Like, they want to kind of know, like, what was, like, who was the surgeon, what way did they go in.
Yeah.
They're looking at the wound in his head, and I was saying to them, I was like, it's really funny, because, like, as an actor, as a writer, sometimes if I am, like, talking to a friend and I see them telling me something real traumatic, or them getting real upset, or if I even feel myself about to cry, and I'm like, I stop myself because I'm, like, trying to remember what it would be like for when I need it.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
It's mad because, like, I was saying to them, like, they're like treating him like some kind of, like, I think that, no, sorry, they said themselves they don't want to treat this person in class like a case study.
And well,
I
was you can't help yourself from doing it as
and
well.
I, and then as an actor, like emotionally, like you're always taking case studies in yourself and people around you. Like,
yeah.
It's real interesting. Like that, and because I was having like a real big cry recently. Like, and I would cry. I wouldn't cry all the time, but like, I would cry definitely. I'm not like blocked in that way. And, but I remember in the middle of it, like, and this is maybe like the biggest cry I've ever had in my life. It was just like real cathartic, like that, you know. And just something real big had happened, and the way I stopped it, and I wasn't trying to do this, but I thought about, oh, you should remember this for like, you know,
for when
and
you
straight
need
away
it.
The emotion just like stopped.
Yeah, it's mad. Like it's I think that's I do that a lot.
Do you find when you had that moment whenever you were crying recently, like. Did that thought pop into your head?
No, it didn't pop into my head. I think I just needed to cry so much. I wasn't thinking about anything else.
Yeah, of course.
To be honest with you,
And because it's not something you're used to, did you feel a bit rocky for a few?
Oh, yeah, I was shaken by it, like literally shaken. But then as well, after I was like, no, I need to do this more.
Yeah.
I'm going to put an hour a week every aside every week to fucking have a cry.
Yeah. Do you know, there's probably something to be said for that. I bet like there's some like culture in somewhere real, just like together, like India or China, like somewhere where they like are good at like into their mindfulness and meditation, where they do like, they do, because like, you hear this like, you know, is it laughter yoga? And
isn't it? And they do that every morning before they go to work. In some places, isn't it?
I think that's right.
Yeah,
I think that's right. And like, because it just releases like good endorphins or something. But like, crying must have something similar, because it has to be good for you.
Yeah, I know, it definitely is. Like, you're getting rid of all the shite that's in your head. Yeah, we're not getting rid of it, but releasing some of it.
I know, I know. Right, let's give it a spin. All right, here we go. Number 18. Do you have it?
No.
No worries. Number 18. The question is, are there any things that you do day to day to stay healthy? It's weird. This is a weird question, because for some reason beside this question, I wrote like examples. I think in case people don't like, you answer the question. I won't give my example.
Right.
Do you want my examples?
Yeah.
I'll give you my examples.
Do I do anything?
No, because I guess because examples are probably good. It's like in terms of like healthy eating, meditation, mindfulness, exercise, therapy. So I guess maybe it more is like about like, how do you just look after your brain?
Yeah. Well, for a while, like I'm a real bad sleeper, and for a while I was using the what's the app called? It's a meditation app anyway.
Headspace.
Yeah, and it was I don't know if it was the actual meditation or the fella's voice on it, because he was so soothing, and I was literally gone to sleep in a few minutes, and I don't do it anymore, and I probably should start again, because it literally takes me about 2 hours to get asleep at night. Yeah, like I'd go to bed, I'd probably go up, well sometimes I go in about 10:30, 11, and I won't get asleep till 1 or 2 in the morning, like just rolling around. And it's probably because I'm on my phone as well. Do you know that way? Like, and that's why we're so bad for using our phones as well. Like literally I'm addicted to it, glued to it. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm trying not to use my phone as much anymore. And but I was at Florence and the Machine the other night, and you know, everyone had their phones out videoing, and she said at one stage, she was like, right, we're going to do something lovely now. Everyone's just going to put their phone away and just enjoy the rest of the concert. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, that is what it's all about. And my little sister, she's like, she would very rarely use her phone. And she was saying as well, she was like, yeah, that is. Like, we're here in the moment. We shouldn't be using phones, or, like, we should just be enjoying it. And I was like, yeah, actually, like.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, because, like, and so I get that all the time. Like, sometimes, like, you'll be at, like, that gig or at a football match or something, and, like, lads are just watching it through their phone, recording it.
Yeah.
And you're like, are you even ever going to watch this again?
I know,
that's the weird thing about
it. And everyone's putting it on social media for other people to know where they are and what they're doing, like, all the time.
And I've never enjoyed another person's concert experience on a story.
No, it's like,
cause it sounds shit.
Yeah.
Like, you can't see
nothing.
And then
as well, you're like, oh, I wish I was there. Like, so you're just like, all right, next. Like, do you know what I mean?
It's so funny. I think that's one of the, like, that's got to be one of the reasons why theatre probably won't ever die, is because, like, I could be wrong. I'm sure there's definitely been plays that have, like, used people's phones in it, like, and, like, had the audience, like, texting things. I remember there was, like, that was a trend for, like, a hot second. But, like, there's no phones in the theatre, you know, unless someone fucks up.
And you're, like, turn it off.
Yeah, exactly. That's got to be, like, one of the last places where that's a thing.
Yeah, it is. Because it's like, turn off your mobile phones. But I don't think theatre's ever going to die. Ever. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's, there's always going to be space where people love going. Well, you either love or you either hate going to the theatre. I personally hate going to see plays that are longer than an hour long. I'm too fidgety. I need to just get up and move around. But there's other people, like, that's what I know this is terrible and I probably shouldn't say it, but I will say it anyway. I wouldn't go to see a Shakespeare play, and it's not because like the work isn't good. It's just because I just cannot sit through something that's
4 hours
that long.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
Maybe that's the way we're conditioned now as well, because like people are just like quick off to something else. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I know people that would gladly go to see a Shakespeare play every night of the week. Like, do you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, Thomas loves going to see any type of play. Like, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And I'm just like, if it's longer than an hour, I'm like, get me out of here now.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I get you. What does like theatre? Obviously, you're working it and you're so busy with it. But like, what does it like mean to you? What does it represent for you? Like, what part has it played in your life?
I think it's just a release. Like, it is a release. I can't actually even explain what it means to me. You know what I mean? It means so much that I actually can't even explain it. Like, it's just something that's there that's always going to fucking help me with life and whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you're touching your heart like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, that is. It's like, I'm actually shy at, like, as I said already, like, I just don't know how to express emotion, like, with anything, but I can always feel it, like, it's, like, so strong inside me, like, and as well, like, it just made, like, helped me meet so many amazing people, and as well with the law of attraction thing again, I think the people who I have met in theatre are the people that I was supposed to meet in life to be my friends, like, me and Thomas, like, we met so many times during our life, like, we met each other first when we were in stage school, when we were only 10, then we met each other, we lost contact, we met each other again when we were like in Bull Alley, and that was the first time we went to college together, and then we lost contact after Bull Alley again, then we met each other on a night out, and we met each other, we did a Spring Awakening together in Smock Alley, and then we lost contact again after that, and then we met each other again on a night out, and we were like, oh, come on, we need to set up a theatre company, like, do you know what I mean? Like, the two of us liked the same stuff, we didn't think there was enough stuff out there for people, like, was like, working class people, we were like, let's do this, and like we always say, we were meant to be in each other's lives. The amount of times that we've met on weird occasions as well, like, do you know what I mean? We're like, so I think, yeah, if I hadn't got theatre, I wouldn't have a lot of things that I have now. Like,
yeah, it's interesting. So what does the your relationship to Thomas mean to you?
Oh, stop! Like, we're like a married couple. Like,
yeah,
we are literally like a married couple. Like, we kill each other. Like, but at the same time, like, I don't laugh as much with anybody else. And I think as well, me and Thomas take a lot of things out on each other because we're so close to each other. But like, I am just so lucky as an actor to have someone that is as good a writer as Thomas. I'm not going to say to write for me, because I'd never expect him to write directly for me. But like, just to have him, for him to know me as an actor. And like, I know I am biased, like, but I just don't think there is any writer like Thomas in Dublin at the moment. And I think he's just brilliant.
No,
I actually feel like crying now, and that's the first time I felt like this in ages.
Wow.
And yeah, I know, yeah, it's isn't it?
No, it's amazing. But I mean, yeah, like, it's funny because, yeah, well, I totally agree with you. Like, there's definitely, I think I said this to him when he was on doing this, but I was like, if you say, like, Thomas Cain Byrne has a play, and I mean this in a really good way, like, you kind of know what it sounds like. He has a voice, established voice already, after like writing what, like, 3 proper full plays, you know what I mean, and like doing it so quickly as well.
And he's very, I think he's very good at like listening to people and getting people's, like, their psyche almost, like, you know what I mean? Like, he just knows what type of person someone is when he's talking to them, and that's why he's so good at writing. Like, and I don't think he's very judgmental of people either, and I think that's what makes him a good writer as well, because he doesn't really judge people too quickly, like, you know, that way. And I think me and him balance each other out a lot as well, like, because I'm kind of quite chill, and Thomas is like, no, get the work done, and I'm like, right, like, you know. So yeah, I think we are really good for each other.
Can you, like, do you kind of feel like you are life partners in that way now? Like,
yeah,
you're definitely in it for the,
like,
long run.
We could have a blazing round 2 minutes later, be like, oh, do you want a cup of tea?
Yeah,
like,
do you fight?
Oh, yeah, we would fight. I think every close relationship, but anybody, people fight, like, but yeah, but I think we have more laughs than we do fights, so
yeah,
that's good.
Big time. What if there is going to be a fight? Like, what is it? What are there things that, like, you find yourselves tripping up over again and again, or is it little small things, or?
Yeah, usually it's me being a bit flighty.
Right, right,
yeah, and
yeah.
He's like, did you do that? I'm like, oh, fuck, I forgot. And he's like, do it now. That's usually what we're fighting over.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it is. I've had, like, a save, like...
Right.
Like, I think sometimes if I was any more laid back, I'd be in a coma. Like, it's disgraceful.
Gotcha. Yeah. But look, as you said, like, yeah, like, every good, like, I say couple in, like, that sense of, like, just two people who are doing whatever the fuck they're doing together, like, you need... Like, the more and more I think, like, you need that, like... yin and yang, because even if you look back on like, if I look back on like relationships that just don't work, it's because like it's like
you're too alike.
We're too alike,
yeah.
Which, and it's weird because like that's what like the fucked up part is, like that's probably why you love them and also why you hate them
yeah,
in the moments, because
exactly,
it's the parts about you that you don't like.
Yeah, because you're saying like any, and that's what like I was saying someone there a while ago, and like that as well. I was like, we're great together, and at the same time, like, we are so alike, we will end up killing each other, because everything bad that I saw in him was a bad aspect of me as well. And I was mm-hmm. like, yeah, no, get it. Run from this now. Like,
yeah. And were you able to do that? Like, just walk away from it?
Yeah. And it was the first time I was able to do that. Usually I'm really like, no, love me forever. But this, I think as well as you're getting older, like, it's like, I'm not able for these mad relationships anymore. I just need something stable and a bit of excitement, but not too much madness.
Yeah.
Even though I do love the madness now, I have to say.
Yeah.
I love a bit of chaos.
I know, but it's funny. Yeah, like, I was thinking that in a, like, probably, like, the defining, like, not defining, but, like, the main relationship, like, of my life so far, right?
Yeah.
And, like, it's kind of come to an end recently.
Yeah.
And it's hard and stuff, but... At the same time, like, with a little bit of hindsight now, and I'm only talking like a few weeks, a couple of months, maybe whatever, it's just like the problem with it was we were so alike, and because of that, we only really existed from like 0 to 20%, as in when things were fucking terrible, and like 80 to 100 when things were unbelievable.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, really, a relationship should probably be operating somewhere between like 70 and 90%, ideally, you know,
yeah.
most of the time.
Yeah,
whereas we
yeah.
weren't. We were just either sky high good
yeah.
or like
the lows are lows, but the highs are really high. Like,
and that's
yeah.
so addictive.
And I know. Oh my god, it's so bad. Like, cause like when you are like I have like in another relationship that I was in, I like when I'm looking back on it, like sometimes like, oh, that was great, and then I'm like, no, it wasn't. That was fucking terrible. And people are like, and like he's not a bad person around, but people are like, oh my god, you two are just so wrong for each other. How did this last so long? And I'm like, I haven't got a clue how that happened at all. Like,
yeah,
it's mad. Like that as well. The lows are really low and the highs are really high. And sometimes when you're looking back on stuff like that, and why people keep on going back to people, is because all they say is the good, and mm-hmm. like it's like but when it was good, yeah,
I know, yeah, and it's hard, like, and that's what's important about it, I think, as well. Well, like, certainly in my situation, it's to like just acknowledge that, like it's to try not let all the bad times tinge all the good times either, and vice versa, you know, because yeah, it's really hard to have like perspective when you're in something intense.
Yeah,
I suppose that's what it comes down to, because even now, like, being outside of something, you can look back and you kind of feel like you're looking back outside your body, even, like,
yeah,
it's like an outer body experience.
It's like a past life almost, like, it's like
yeah.
And like even I feel like a different person altogether, like, and there was stuff that, like, when I was in that relationship that I wasn't doing for myself, like, I just loved him so much that, like, I was living almost for him, like, do you know that way? And mm-hmm. now I'm like, even like, I wasn't acting as much, I wasn't doing, like, not that I wasn't doing anything, I'm not blaming him either, it was me, it mm-hmm. was just like I was in a bubble, like, do you know that way? And you don't, like, you're just, it's a past life, like, you are almost a different person when you're in that type of relationship as well. And people are like, you're mad, and I'm like, I know I'm mad.
Do you consider yourself a relationship person?
No,
or
no, not at all.
You like being single?
Oh my god. I like being single, and I like being in a relationship, do you know that way?
Mm-hmm.
But for now, like, I'm just like, I haven't got time for fellas. Like, I'm just like, and if it takes me, like, I won't go out with someone unless I actually really know that I'm like, something is gonna happen there, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm shy for going on dates and all. Like, if someone asked me to go on a date, I'd be like, yeah. And then on the last minute, I'd be like, oh, sorry, something came up. I'm dreadful for it, because I'm just like, oh.
Like, would you be lying that something came up?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But like, it's just like, if I don't feel something initially, then it's like, I'm not going to do it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it takes me a long time to fall in love, but when I do, like, it's deep. Like, do you know that way? But I think when you know as well. Like, do you know what I mean? There's no point in going out. Like, I know some of my friends have, like, all these little flings, like, for a few weeks, and then they're with someone else for another few weeks. I'm like, I don't know how people do that. And, like, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. That's uh-huh. just what what works for them, but for me that does not work. I'm real scarlet as well. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if I went out on a date with someone, I'd be there talking shy for 3 hours. Like, do you know what I mean? And I'm just like not into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. I went to the Gael Talk years ago, right, yeah, in the school, like, and yeah, I met, there was this girl there, and I always remember, like, she was gorgeous, like, and yeah, we got on great.
Yeah.
Like, we were friends, but, like, we weren't best mates or anything, but, like, everyone kind of knew her because she was just gorgeous. And, like, she was, yeah, one of them people, you just remember.
Yeah.
And, like, I'd seen her, like, scattered throughout the years, and we bumped into each other recently, like, real random, like, we were both literally out jogging. It was really random, and I just moved into a new area where she lived, and it was all very coincidental. We ended up going for a couple of walks, and then, you know, it was actually very cool. Something I find super attractive is, like, if a girl asks me on a date, because that's quite rare,
yeah,
and she,
yeah,
was like, well, I've been really enjoying hanging out, do you want to go on a date? So we did,
yeah,
and we went on two dates, and it was lovely, and, like, we were catching up, but, like, it was like it was like we were, like, meeting up as friends, and at the end we kissed. Do you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, like, it wasn't weird or awkward.
Yeah,
or that.
No, it,
yeah,
wasn't weird or awkward, yeah, at all. There was no spark there either. Like, and we were so aware,
yeah,
of that. But it's funny because, like, I felt exactly like that right after two dates, like, genuinely.
Yeah.
And then she felt the same way, obviously, and she said it. She was just like, look, this has been lovely, but I feel like, you know, I feel like we're meant to be friends.
Friends, yeah.
And it was so funny, though, because I was like, I completely agreed,
yeah,
but I struggled to name that first. Like, because I wasn't going to say that to her probably for another, like, 3 or 4 dates. Eventually, I'm sure I would have, because, like, you're not going to go live. But I would find it hard to, like, identify that in the way. She was pretty cold and clinical. You know, two dates, they're both good, but, like,
yeah,
we're not going to be a thing, so let's just go back to being friends.
Friends, yeah, yeah.
I really,
yeah,
admire that, but, yeah, like, I didn't have that in me in that moment.
Yeah, to be able to say it.
Yeah.
I think I do have that in me to say right now, this isn't going anywhere. Like, but, like, yeah, no, if I really like someone, you do. Like, even if you know it's bad, because, like, as I said, I just love madness. Like, it's, mm, like, there's something in me that just wants chaos. Like,
right.
But as I'm getting older, I'm kind of saying, no, you can't have that in your life. You're going to end up a psychopath.
Yeah,
if
yeah,
you keep on continuing on like that. So now I'm just like, right, now this is good, but actually, no, like, cut it out now, right? Before it goes.
Yeah, and do you find yourself to be, like, a different... Well, I know what you were saying there about when you were with that fella, you were acting less and whatever. But, like, do you find yourself to be a different person when you're single versus in a relationship?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm more calm and collective when I'm single. Like, I'm a very jealous person, and I'm very, like, I'd almost say possessive. Like, it's horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm real, like, and then if something happens that makes me kind of question it, I just go mad. So I'm like, for the time being, I just want to be single, and until I meet someone that's going to keep me sane. Do you know that
right.
way? That's not going to make me go off the head, because I do, like, end up going for people that are like me a lot, so I'm trying not to do that.
So do you find there's more chaos in your life when you're single or in a relationship?
No, I'd say that there's a good balance between the two. It's just different.
There's a spread right across.
Yeah, it does. It's just a different type of chaos.
Yeah, yeah. And then that's interesting about, like, the jealousy or possessiveness. Like, would you have that even within, like, say with Thomas, like, just as a friendship, obviously you're super close. Would you have that there?
No, not really. Like, not when we're friends, I'm like...
So it's more romantic thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So what would it be like if...
That's obviously a fucking problem I have with myself.
No, I mean...
But yeah. I don't... Yeah, well, I think, like... Yeah, I don't really have it in friendships at all. Like...
Yeah.
It would just be relationships, yeah.
And do you think it, like... Does that come from, like... Like, is it something that happened before, like, with, like, someone being unfaithful or something like that?
No, I don't know. Never. I don't, well, not that I know of. Anyway,
yeah.
No one's ever cheated on me or anything, like, so... But I don't know.
It's
where
just
that
there.
Comes
yeah, no, it's
from.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't
that
it?
That stuff's interesting, because it's one of the questions on the sheet is, do you consider yourself a jealous person? And, like, I think as well, it can be interesting in what we do in the, like, acting sense.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, like, obviously you're constantly, like, you're always in a world where you're auditioning beside your friends and stuff
yeah,
like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's interesting, you know, how different people feel differently
yeah,
about it.
I used to be, like, especially, like, with the likes of, like, auditions and stuff, I used to kind of be quite competitive, but now I'm just like, if you're going to get something, you're going to get it. Like, and there's no point, and me and Thomas always say it as well, like, you know, if you're here of an audition that you think that you're going for, that you think someone else would be good for, like, we always say it to them, just say, look, I'm going for this, like, but I think you'd be absolutely great for it. Like, I think the best person's going to get the job at the end of the day, or not the best person, the person who's more right for it is going to get it. So, yeah.
I think that's real good. that like behavior, I think the more of
I never
there
used
is.
To be like that. Yeah, I used to be quite like, oh no, I'm gonna get this. Like, you know
but no, you're right. Like that's just the difference between like a kind of a famine mentality versus like a feast mentality. You know what I mean? Like,
I suppose
there's enough for everyone.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't feel like that, especially in the moments maybe where you're not working and someone is, and like, you know, and sometimes it's not even a jealousy. Like I wouldn't consider myself jealous, but I definitely like if I see like. Like, for example, like, you know, when she's asking for it the other day and you're seeing, like, loads of your mates up there and it's amazing. I honestly, there's no part of me that was jealous, but, like, I was definitely like, geez, I'd love to be up there.
I'd love to, yeah. You know, I think we all, like, actors will always have that in them. Like, if there's a part that they think they could play, they're like, I'd love to be down that right
now. Yeah, it's good. Like, and I think that's, like, healthy because that's just, you're just kind of aware of what you want then, you
know? Yeah.
It's like that difference. But, all right, sweet, let's give it a spin. All right, here we go. Number 29. Do you have it?
No.
No worries. Number 29. The question is, when you think about your childhood, what's your most clear memory?
Oh, God. I had a mad childhood.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was it like?
Oh, my man and dad were just mad. Like, they had a mad relationship. Like, I think, and that's probably going back to why I always want a mad relationship, because they say you want what you know, like, as well.
Yeah.
But what's my most clear? We used to go down to Wexford when we were kids, like we had mobile down there, like a caravan, and it wasn't mobile, it was a caravan. But we used to go down there every summer, and that's some of my most clear memories, just going down there, and because we were right beside the beach. And I always say that, like, if when I have enough money to buy my own house, I'm going to buy a house at the seaside, and just so relaxing. But yeah, all my clearest memories are my best memories, probably, as a kid, are down there.
Yeah. And what do you make of your parents' relationship now that you're an adult?
Oh yeah, well no, they're not together anymore, thank God.
Right. Is it thank God?
Oh yeah, like they were just mad. Like, and like that as well, when they were good, they were good, but when they were bad, they were bad, like, you know, that way. So yeah, no, I'm delighted they're not together anymore, to be honest with you. But at the same time, like, they're both great people, like, you know what I mean? But they're just mad.
Yeah. Two brothers and sisters?
I have two sisters, yeah. I have a younger sister and an older sister.
Oh, you're middle?
Yeah, I'm the middle child, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, what child syndrome.
Is that a thing?
Oh, most definitely a thing. Like, and it's all in the head. Well, do you know what? It's not all in the head, because I don't even think parents realise that they're doing it. Like, I think I'm quite independent, and I think me ma's always like, ah, Erica's all right, like, you know, that way. Mm-hmm. But middle child syndrome is definitely a thing. Feeling hard done by for no reason.
Yeah. Like, how much of, do you think you've chosen a career, right, where you stand in front of people and at the end of you doing your job, they clap you?
Yeah.
How much of that is you, like, trying to grab attention?
Oh, well, like, who was I only talking to about this the other day? I can't remember. I think it might have been Amelia Stewart. Was it? I don't know. I think it might have been her, but, like, I think all actors, there's something in us that we're doing it for approval. Mm-hmm. There definitely is. Like, there's something, I don't think anyway, personally, that anyone that is doing this job doesn't have a slight bit of them seeking approval in some way or form in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Definitely. It's so funny. I, up until really recently, like, I'm talking like weeks ago, I would have like had an awareness of like things in my childhood that like wouldn't have been great, right?
Yeah.
But like, it's only recently now where I'm kind of like, oh my God, you had like a seriously messed up childhood.
Yeah.
I didn't realise.
I know.
Because it was my experience. Yeah, I was stuck in my life. Like, and I didn't have...
It was
have,
just the norm for you, yeah.
Yeah, because you don't have the perspective of like everyone else. And it was only like recently from like talking to people and therapy and things like that where I was just like, no, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's like, right.
And I was like, oh, I thought it was normal.
I know, and as well, like, I think is like, and I like, I don't know if it is growing up in a working class area or whatever, but most of my friends had the same type of childhood as me, but they all had mad childhood, so none of us thought it was out of the ordinary, like, you know what I mean? And not saying I had a bad childhood in any way or form, it was just mad. And then I was talking to Veronica Dias there a while ago, and she says everyone thinks that they're the only ones that their family is mad, but as you get older you realise everyone's family is fucking mad. Like, and that's so true, but like, yeah, at the time you're like, this is normal.
Yeah, big time. When your parents split, like, what was the feeling for you? Like, was it, were you devastated, or did you have a sense that this was the right thing? Was there relief?
Yeah, I think there was a sense of relief, yeah.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, there definitely was, yeah.
What age, like, were you?
I was still me living to it, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just a mad situation in general, so I don't know, as going back to, I just blocked it out and I just moved on.
Yeah.
Got on with life.
I mean, yeah, because that's probably what you had to do, especially in the middle of your Leaving Cert, because there's so much going on.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the crack with you during Leaving Cert? Like, did you went to Bull Alley, did you?
I went to Bull Alley straight after school, yeah.
Yeah, so you, like, did you always know you wanted to be?
Always, like, since I have been, like, a child, I just knew that I wanted to be an actor. That's all I ever wanted to do. My ma said, like, you know, we'd be watching the telly around years ago, and during the ads, that was my time to get up and do a little show for everyone. Like,
really?
Yeah, yeah. No, I just love being centre of attention.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's big. And as well, like, going back to the approval thing, like, I was quite heavy growing up as well. Like, do you know what I mean? As a teenager, I was, like, very heavy.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And I think as well, like, it was... Not to, like, this sounds terrible, but not that you don't get a look in when you're bigger, but like, you, like, that is true. Like, people don't pay as much attention to bigger kids.
Do you mean like boys?
Yeah, and like, I think in general, people are just like, and as well, I think when you are a bit larger, you want like to have a sense of humor. Like, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To kind of defer from or whatever.
Get to the joke first.
Nearly. Yeah, like mm-hmm. type of thing. So I think that was always that kind of something that maybe might have spurred me on to want to show people that there was more than what was on the outside. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. Like, I think that, you know, I think that a lot. Like, I think about when was the... Because really, it doesn't really make much... Well, it doesn't. Like, I was going to say it doesn't really make much sense for me, personally speaking, that I'm an actor. Like, I wouldn't... I mean, like, I definitely, like, I'm confident in loads of ways, sure. But, like, growing up, like, you definitely would not have... As a kid, like, I was very heavy, but what was more than that was I was so self-conscious about it.
Yeah, this is
and,
it,
like,
yeah.
I was the kind of kid, like, I was always pulling my jumper at school,
yeah.
Chewing my sleeve.
Yeah.
I wasn't comfortable in any sense of myself. And now it's so funny because, again, like, the job you do is you're literally putting yourself on a screen, on a stage, whatever it is, for people to just look at you.
I know.
Examine all of you, have an opinion about all of it.
I know, and that's the thing, like, we're taken down as well, like, I'm real nervous to watch it. Like, that's what my mum was like, oh, I'll have to watch your episodes together. And we have been watching all the episodes together anyway. Mm. But I'm like, no, them episodes, I'm going to have to watch it on my own. I'm not going to be able to watch that in a room with anybody. Because this is going to be my first time seeing myself on telly. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm so nervous about it. Like, but, and then at the same time, like, I did Demo and Ivor, the movie, but I got cut out of it.
Right.
And that's what I was saying. I hope I'm not cut. Like, I really hope I'm not cut, telling everyone I'm in it. And then, like, do you know what I mean? Because it happens so easily.
I know.
As well.
And it's nothing to do with you. That's just a reflection of what they needed.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
When did the weight come off for you?
When I went to Bull Alley, I think it started. Yeah, I think it was like the lash. And I used to do mad things. I used to dye my hair mad colours and all, like, kind of to. Like the
distract,
way you were saying,
maybe.
Yeah, the self-conscious.
Yeah.
I think it was at the end. Like, I'm still chubby, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think I'm ever going to be sticked in, like, person. Like, I'll always have a bit of weight on me, but, and I don't mind, actually. Do you know
Would you like
now?
To be sticked in?
Not necessarily, like, do you know what I mean? I don't think there's anything wrong with being really thin, or I don't, do you know what I mean? But
yeah.
I don't think I'd necessarily, I'd like to be a bit skinnier, but. Then again, there's some days I'm like, oh my god, right, I'm going to go out, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to start losing weight. And then other days I'm like, do you know what, I actually couldn't give a fuck, like, but yeah.
When you started to lose it, say around the Bull Alley time, was it like a conscious choice?
No, that's the thing as well. That's what, like, I actually went vegetarian for 6 months, right? I don't know, like, and then the weight, that's when the weight started coming off me. But maybe that had something, but it wasn't like, I didn't go vegetarian kind of to lose weight, you know, that way. But yeah, it was kind of like a lot of my friends always say to me, they're like, you're a different person than when you were a grown up, like, you look like a different person. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And they're like, when did that happen? Like, because none of us can actually remember, like, when it happened. It just happened.
Yeah, it's funny. But as well, like, even just growing up, like, I think I'm not even talking about like puberty or something, but like your body just develops differently, you know?
Yeah, maybe my metabolism just went faster as I got a bit older, like, do you know what I mean? Because I still eat shite all the time, like, I have the biggest appetite ever, like,
really?
Oh my god, I would eat rings around myself, like, and I really have to watch it, but yeah, no, I have a real big appetite.
It's funny, I'm the same, like, I have friends, right, and they can eat whatever they want and they'll be. Like, they'll just look great.
Yeah,
they'll be real slim, and if they're going to the gym at all, they'll look you know, they'll look filled out in that way, like muscular or whatever. But like with me, like whatever, like whatever state I'm in now, like I have to like work to keep, like I can't really eat bad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I can't.
Yeah.
Cause or else I'll go. Because it, maybe the reason I asked that question, I hope you didn't mind, where I was like, do you want to be stick thin? But I think that if I ask myself that question, it's like, I don't want to be stick thin, but like, I would really...
want to be trim, like...
Yeah, I would if I put weight back on, I would really struggle with that.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. See, I kind of fluctuate in my weight as well. Like, I'm like, I just go up and down all the time. And I think it's just something that I'm going to... have to get used to.
Like that's
I'm always going to be like that. Like
I know. Yeah. And that's something. Like I remember chatting to like a few female friends about it, and even chatting to like my mom about like just stuff like menopause and stuff and how that affects your body. Like female friends like going on the pill and how they have to like just be like, yeah, well, I'm going to probably like balloon up and wait a little bit.
Yeah. So see, I'm not on any type of contraceptive because of that reason, because I'm afraid that like
I'd be right there with you.
You know, if men if took you needed it.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really would, because I don't know how. I'd love to be like in a mentally healthy enough place around my like body image to be cool with that. Actually, the last episode that just came out on Sunday, if you get a chance, you should listen to it because it's amazing. It's this gorgeous girl, Justine Stafford. She's just such a sweet human.
Yeah.
She's a comedian and she works for Joe.ie.
Yeah.
And she talks about like her eating disorders and you know, being in rehab for them and body dysmorphia. And it's just amazing. I don't know, when people like can talk about that freely, like I think it's
it is
special. Like
even
for example, and to my shame I didn't get to see it either time, but Thomas's show, like The Fattest Dancer in St. Bernadette. I don't know anything about that show other than the fact that it has The Fattest Dancer in St. Bernadette. And like it's already giving me anxiety.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because for me, like, it's so amazing that like someone can own their body, whatever it is, whatever it looks like, just own it. Like that's real. That's a real sexy thing. In
someone. It is. Like, I think, like, I'd love to be able to do more of that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Let's give it a spin. All right, here we go. Number 15. Do you have it?
No. You must have just took all my numbers out of that.
Yeah. We're just giving you a hard time. Number 15. What are your memories of 9/11?
Oh, God. What a random question.
I know.
I remember I was in school. I think...
You're younger than me, are you?
I am 26.
You're 26?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I did not realise that.
I know. Everyone says that to me. Yeah, I know. Everyone says I look 19. I don't think I look that young now. But I've been told 19 a few times.
Yeah, like, I thought you were... I think I probably thought you were...
How old are you?
25.
25, yeah.
I think I thought you were 21 or 23.
Yeah. I know. I do.
Because you've got a real youthful face. Like,
I think it's because I'm quite immature as well. Like, I'm just really, you know what I mean? So I think that comes across.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, a lot of people say I look younger. But 9/11.
Yeah. I know it's a mad one, but... I guess maybe the reason it's there, like for me, because I make all these questions, obviously, so they're all like biased by like my experiences, but like I think somewhere in my life that was a real, just mad. I just remember it so clearly, and I remember being afraid.
As well, yeah, and I was in school. I think I might have been in maybe third class. Maybe what'd you say?
I think that's dead right.
I think I would have been in third class, and I can like remember my teacher and all that time, and they brought the. What's it called? It, like a telly into the classroom and everyone
wheeled
was watching.
Wheeled it in that weird cart that they used to have.
And they wheeled it in and like it was like, I remember us all watching it. And at the same time, I'm looking back and I'm like, why did they do that to kids in tour class? And then I'm like, no, like kids should be shown more and more like of, I was going to say the hardship of life, but that's not the right thing. But like of the bad things in the world, because I think a lot of kids are quite sheltered as well from stuff that's going on around them. Not so much anymore, but I think when we were growing up, like things were kind of hidden from us a lot. Like, you know, that way, like saying, no, this isn't going on, but not so much anymore. But I don't think that should be the way with kids. I think they should be shown what's going on in the world and well, the badness as well as the goodness, I suppose.
Yeah. It's interesting. What do you, Is kids something that you want?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Like, I never really wanted to have kids. I always used to say, no, I don't want kids. I haven't got the time for it. Like, and even people are like, when you get a bit older, you will want kids. And as I've gotten older, I'm like, I don't. Like, sometimes I see a baby and I'm like, oh, I'd love one of them. But, like, just for a day and then I'll give it back to someone. Like, do you know what I mean?
Right.
But, I've never really wanted kids, ever. And maybe my mind will change. And if it happened, like, it happened. Like, do you know what I mean? But
totally.
Yeah, I just not. I especially not now anyway.
I know.
Yeah, I'd say maybe about 45 maybe if I ever was going to. But then when I get to 45, I'd be like, oh, maybe 40. And then that's kind of the cutoff line then, isn't it?
I know, yeah. I mean, it's so funny because I think like for our generation, like everything is happening later for us. You know what I mean? Like yeah. You know, my parents were like pretty much married when they were my age.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, that means they were about to get a house. Yeah. You know what I mean? And all this mad shit. And like, I am so far away from all of those things.
Yeah, I know. My man and dad were married to a child and all at my age. Like, do you know what I mean? That's what I'm looking back.
Yeah.
But as well, like, again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. Like, some of my friends now, like, they have a house with their fella and kids. And, like, one of my best friends, she's saving for a mortgage at the moment. And I think they look at me, though, and I'm looking at them saying, yous are mad. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's so much more to life. And at the same time, they're looking at me saying, you're mad. Like, what are you doing? Like, your life is hectic. You know? So I just think everyone's just so different. Because, like, I couldn't, like you said, like, you're so far away from that. I can't even imagine saving for a mortgage now. I'm barely keeping myself afloat. Like, do you know what I mean? And
it's very weird. Like, I think I went through that phase as well. Do you know what, when I didn't want, like, I didn't, we're both like so young to be talking about it even, but like, I think that's like a sign you're getting older. I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'm always afraid that it's like a bad question to ask, like a female, because I never wanted to be like, because you know they say that's the kind of question you only ever ask women, but it's like I ask men too. I think it's so interesting. Yeah. I'm always so interested in it, but it's like it's just how it affects, I think, in particular with our career, like, because you're like, certainly with me, because I'm like, I would not be in a, as you said, like, I can like pay my rent now and whatever like that, but like I can barely look after myself financially. Yeah. It's like, how would you look after,
and
like,
as well, like, I was only talking to someone about this recently as well. It shouldn't be that way in our career either. There should be more outlets for us to be able to, if we want to have a family. And I think because there's a lot of male actors that I know that have kids that are getting on, like, okay with their career, but there's a lot of females that, like, once they do have a child, they do kind of have to stop for a while and to, like, do you know that way? And it shouldn't be that way at all. Like, I was only, like, Lauren Larkin is a great, like, example of this. Her and Peter, they have Robin, they're married, and she is absolutely killing it at her career at the moment. Like, and she was the one who's, because I was like, oh, it must be hard, and she was like, yeah, but it shouldn't be hard, Erica. Like, we should be able to do this as much as male actors, and like, there just isn't enough for us to be able to. And she is absolutely killing it, like, and she is doing such a great job of being a mother, a wife, and excelling at her career, like, you know that way.
Yeah.
And I said to her as well, I said, Jesus, you're so lucky with Peter. And she was like, yeah, but he's also lucky. Well, no, she didn't say also lucky with me, but like, it shouldn't be that way that you're always saying to women, oh, you're so lucky that your fella helps out with you. That should be the way it is anyway. Do you know that way?
True, yeah.
So
I know. It is funny, like, for however much society has progressed, and I think it has progressed an awful lot, and like, quite quickly, like, obviously there's so much more to go, but like, that is one of them things that is still, yeah. I don't think it's taboo necessarily, but like, as you said, it is, you do still have that thing to be like, aren't you lucky? And she's so right to be like, no, like, I'm correct, like, as in, this is what should be happening.
Yeah, it should be the way, it should be an equal kind of, and look, it is coming on, like, but there is still that, like, I would consider myself like a feminist. I don't know if, I would, like, but that's still in my mind frame of being where, like, oh, aren't you lucky that you have a fella that's so good to you? But
yeah, but you don't exactly.
I shouldn't be thinking like that. It's just embedded into us from like growing up. Like,
I know.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's funny. It's good to catch them thoughts though when they happen and just be like, oh, weird. Like, let's
challenge
that.
Yeah, well, why am I thinking
that?
Like that? Yeah,
exactly.
It is.
I think that's the most important part. Right, let's give it a spin. All right, here we go. Number 59. Do you have it?
No.
No worries.
No.
Number 59. Have you ever had a near-death experience?
No.
Okay.
Did I ever have a near-death experience? No, actually. Ever.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm very grateful for that. Yeah. Jesus, yeah.
Yeah.
Years ago, there's a park around the corner from my house, and we used to go around on our bikes, and there was a big hill that we used to all go down on the bikes and kind of skid at the end of, but there was a railings right at the thing, and I skidded on the bike but went into the railings, and my ear, like, was kind of hanging off. But that was the only kind of ever real bad thing that bad accident that ever happened to me. Did I never actually thought about that?
Yeah,
I'm very lucky.
That's good. No, yeah. I'm glad. Yeah. What happened with the, so your head?
I crashed into the railings, and whatever way I crashed into it, it ripped my ear. My ear was like almost hanging off.
Oh,
like,
God.
Yeah, I still have a big scar behind my ear, but yeah, and it was me, and I kind of just stood up. It was me and my friend Eric and my little sister Megan. Me ma and Eric's ma were walking around the park behind us, like, and all I can remember from it is Eric screaming at my little sister Megan, just saying, get your fucking ma. And Megan just standing there staring at me, blood all over me.
No.
And like, it was just, she just was standing there in shock. That's all I can remember really from it. And then next thing, I was in the hospital.
Wow. Did you, could you hear, like, did it affect your hearing or anything?
No,
like
it didn't affect me hearing. Like, it was like, it's like, I don't know how to... It's like, it was like a slit, like it wasn't like actually on a tread hanging off, but it was like, do you know what I mean? It was just hanging off a little bit, just hanging off a little bit.
That's all right. One of the things you said there was interesting, and only because I've been thinking about it recently too, but you said, like, I'm very grateful for that, just about like having never nearly died, which is actually like lovely because you're right. What's your relationship to like gratitude?
I read it somewhere as well, I think, come back to the law of attraction, but apparently, like, if you really think about gratitude, like, if you are grateful for things and actually genuinely grateful for things happening to you, like, then more good things are gonna happen to you. I've heard that,
yeah,
and like that's what I'm trying to be more like that recently, like with work that I have gotten over the past year. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so grateful for. I'm looking at some of my friends and they're like, this sounds bad, like, but they haven't worked in a while, and I'm looking at them saying, Jesus, this year has been really good for me, and I'm so grateful for that. Like, do you know what I mean? Because some of my friends are getting real down about not working, and yeah, I don't know. I think if you are grateful for something and like that, genuinely grateful for it, then more good things are going to happen to you. Because I think as well, a lot of people take for granted things that are happening to them, like, they're not. Things are happening to them, like, oh yeah, I deserved that. And yeah, maybe they did deserve that, hard workers, but they're not saying thank God as well, like, you know what I mean? Not, but just grateful in general.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I'm the exact same. I've been trying to like actively practice it, and like literally, you know, if I'm out on a walk or a run or whatever, and like make a list in my head, like I'm literally like, I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful, like a robot.
Yeah, but as well, you don't want to be like, I'm grateful for this when you're actually not.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, no, but
you don't want to be forcing it too much either.
Like, yeah, no, totally, yeah. Totally. No, but it's so funny to try and find the right balance of it. Like, what's the honest way to do that?
Yeah.
You know, because.
But I do think when you're working, like as well, like. Like when I was filming for Taken Down in Dublin Murders, I was like, I was sitting there and I'm like, I'm looking at the people that I'm working with. I'm like, I am so grateful for this. And then you're working with people and you're like, thank God that I'm able to learn from these people. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's amazing though. Yeah. That's sweet. All right, let's give another spin. All right, here we go. Number 7. Do you have it?
No.
No worries. Number 7. The question is, what is an achievement you're most proud of?
Oh God, an achievement I'm most proud of. I actually don't know. Like, I've never thought about that. An achievement I'm most proud of.
I mean, I'm going to try help you.
Yeah.
like in terms of like this year, like, yeah. I wouldn't know you super well or nothing, but like, I'd say I am like kind of aware of you for about, like, not that this is not, by the way, an achievement of like the last like 15 months or something like
that's
that.
That's my achievement.
Yeah, that's your achievement. I'm aware of you. That's the barometer for success today. Oh, Jesus. But you know what I mean? Like, but I feel like you've kind of been like everywhere for the last year, which has to be a good feeling.
Absolutely. Like, do you know what, actually, I think me biggest achievement career wise, I think, is setting up Breadline with Thomas. Like, and looking how far we have come in a year, like 3 full length plays, like learning how to produce. Like, I don't do much of the producing, Thomas does a lot of it, like, but even being able like to learn, because I think when you're just being an actor, like, I don't think you actually realise how much work goes into putting on a play. And For us to, and not saying this in a cocky way at all, like, but for us to have 3 players in the past year, for people to actually like that, the way you said you're aware of what we're doing, like for people to know what we're doing and know the type of work we're putting out there. As you said, like if you go to see a Thomas Kemborn play, you know that it's going to be his voice, and like for that to just be around, I suppose that's like, that is a big achievement. Like we've literally set up Breadline from a chat in a pub, do you know what I mean? Saying we need to do more work for people like us. But like that, like, yeah, I suppose that is probably my biggest achievement career-wise.
Big time. Big time. What? By the way, it's a brilliant name for a theatre company.
The Breadline Collective. It's because we're always on the fucking Breadline.
I know, but I love it. I love it. Yeah, because I think that is such a hard part about setting up
and
a theatre company.
Someone else was setting up a theatre company there a while ago. Me and Thomas were just saying, we were like, that name was just always going to be your name. Like, we never had difficulty thinking of it. It was just literally like, Breadline. Like, yeah, the Breadline Collective. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's like, there was never like, oh, what are we going to call the company? It was just always there for some reason. Like,
yeah.
And not for some reason, because we're always fucking broke.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No, it's amazing. All right, let's give it a couple more spins. All right, here we go. Where are we at? Number 49.
No.
No worries. Number 49. The question is, if you could choose one person to interview yourself, who would it be?
Oh, God. Who would I interview? Do you know who I actually love? And I'd love to interview Katie Bourke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's
that?
Do
you know, she plays Perry and Kevin and Perry. She's just like, she's a comedian, like, but she is lit. I know, do you know who else? Oh my God, Julie Walters. She is my favourite actor of all time. Like, her in Educating Rita was one of the main ever films that I said, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to be an actor. I want to play them type of parts. Like, I thought, like, yeah, maybe Julie Walters or Kathy Brooke, because the two of them are like working class people as well. Like, do you know what I mean? They have literally, their careers are amazing. Like, and I'm just like, fair fucking play to us for being able to do that. And as well, Julie Walters wrote she did an interview there a while ago. I hope I'm quoting this right now. But she did, like, about kind of working class people not having the opportunities to go on and pursue a career in acting because of the fact that they do always have to have that part-time job and to be able to...
Would you just move that into your mouth?
Oh, shit, sorry.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're
I just interrupted again.
No,
you're so fine.
Yeah, no, she did like... what was I saying? Oh, yeah, she's like, working class people don't always have the opportunities to go on and to actually train properly in theatre, like, do you know that way? Or, and I think, like, for people that have gone that far in their career to still be able to look back and say, actually, no, more needs to be done for, like, not like people like us, but like, do you know that way?
Yeah,
like,
I
for
do.
Her to actually be so far in her career and not forget who she is or anything like that, I just think that is amazing. Like, and I'd love to meet her, like, she is literally me idol, like, I love her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you like to interview people? Is that something?
No, definitely not. Yeah, like, yeah. Even like, I'm like, I don't even like being interviewed. No, I wouldn't. I'd just talk shy for the interview.
Erica, have you seen my interview style?
Very good at it, though. Have me talking about things I never thought I would have been talking about.
No, Jesus, no. I mean, it's funny. Yeah, interviewing is funny. Like, is it, because it's so funny as well, like, that's one of the weird things about acting as well. If you're at a certain level of it, right,
yeah,
but then, like, that becomes a part of your job. Is
like, you know,
because that's so weird about, like, you know, maybe less so with gigs here, but, like, it definitely can be, but if you're, like, say doing a big gig in the UK or in LA or something like that, like, your job is as much to, like, sell the thing.
Yeah, I know, like, in doing Q&A is like, that's my worst nightmare. Like, it really is. I'm actually dreading having to do that type of stuff, but at the same time really want to do it. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, well, because it would represent, like, if you're being asked to do something like that, that would represent, like, your people respect you in a certain way, which would be lovely.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, I'd just be afraid I'd make a show of myself and my words would be twisted, like, because I do talk a lot of shite, like, do you know that way?
Yeah.
That's, but I, at the same time, I would really like to do it. It's mad. It's a kind of, have to find the balance, don't you?
Yeah. I get you. Right, let's give it one more spin.
Right.
Here we go. Number 24. Do you have it?
No.
No worries. Number 24. The question is kind of a lovely way to finish. What is your definition of success for yourself?
My definition of success is to just be able to live off what I do and be happy. That's all I genuinely, you know, like when someone says make a wish, like, I know you're not supposed to tell anyone what you wish for, but I always say I just wish for happiness. Like, that is genuinely what And do you know what? Like, my ma has done everything for us. Like I mean, everything. And what I want to just be able to do is just to, like, let her, like, not have to work, or just to be able to look after her. Like, do you know what I mean? She is just amazing. Like, I actually feel like crying now even talking about her. Like, she is just, she has done everything for us. So that's what I want to be able to do. Oh, Scarlett, if I may cry.
No.
Oh my God.
What a lovely round of the episode.
I know.
You're going to make me cry now.
She is just some woman. And I know everyone says, oh, their ma's the best in the world, but like, she really is. And I owe her a fortune. I do. I owe her a fortune, like, literally. And I owe her my life. And like, she is just... Are you crying as well?
I think it's lovely. Yeah, you're making me cry.
Oh, God.
It's very sweet.
Yeah, I know.
See, I'm a crier. It doesn't take much to make me cry.
Oh, doesn't it?
Seeing you cry made me cry.
I know, yeah. It's just... Like, I did a play there a while ago in the project. It was Nassim. And I don't want to say too much about it because it's a play that you have to go, but there is talk of, like, a ma in it. Like, and I was just thinking of my ma as well. I just started sobbing. Like, and she's so selfless. Like, she would never do something to, like... gain ourselves. Like, she just, if I said, ma, I need this, she'd be like, yeah, no problem. Or, ma, I'm late to an audition, will you please fly me into town, even if the traffic is 45 minutes long. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She would literally do anything for anyone, and for me and my two sisters and my niece lives with us as well. She's just the best.
Wow.
And that is my definition of success, to be happy and to make my ma happy and to be able to do something lovely for her.
Love it.
Yeah.
Erica Rowe, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you very much, and having me talk and spilling my heart out, crying. I don't cry.
Yeah, well, that's the only reason we brought you here.
Yeah, this is it.
Come here, do us a favour. I know loads coming up between Taking Down.
Yeah, this week. I'm not in this week's episode. I'm in episode 5 and 6. Hopefully I'm not cool. We have Say Nothing to No One next week in the project. So we preview on Monday, and opening night is on Tuesday, and tickets are absolutely flying out, so people need to book them. And
unreal. Keep an eye out in the new year for loads more. The Breadline Collective
is going to be coming on full swing even more in the new year. So yeah, and there's a few other little projects that I'm not sure if I could talk about.
Yeah. Yes. We were talking about off mic, we don't want to get you sued.
Yeah.
But I can say it's some real exciting stuff for
really
you.
Real exciting stuff, so yeah, next year. For you, yeah. I'm delighted as well, yeah.
Erica Rowe, thanks for playing Personality Bingo.
Sweet.
So guys, that was the amazing Erica Rowe playing Personality Bingo. Erica, if you're listening, a massive thank you to you for taking the time to do it. I know you're flat out with rehearsals and everything that's going on for you, but it was an amazing episode, and like, kind of what an arc to it. It was kind of cinematic in its scope, and I absolutely loved having you on, so thank you so much. As I say, go check out Say Nothing to No One in the Project Arts Centre. It starts this coming Monday and it runs until Saturday. They're a real exciting company, lads. The Breadline Collective, there's no avoiding them. I go and see them now while they're early. You can say you were there at the start, because I have a feeling these guys are not going away, and thank God for that. And also go check Erica out in Taken Down, the new series on RTE. She's in the last couple of episodes, but catch it on the player if you haven't already been watching, because it's real good TV, and again, really important. In terms of other news, we have the brilliant Aisling O'Mara coming on in the next few weeks, which I'm delighted to say, and we are real close to episode 100. It's kind of mad. Do me a favour, if you have been listening up until this point, thank you so much. Spread the word. We're coming up to 100 episodes. Like, that, we're not messing around. That's serious going. It's been literally one episode every single week. I'm so proud of that, and I'd love to get it out to as many people as possible. So if you do know someone who might enjoy this episode, or any other episode for that matter, go and pass it on their way, and let's get the Personality Bingo family growing, because I'm real proud of what we're doing here, and I hope you guys are still enjoying it. The thank yous, as always, to the boss woman, Erin Lindsay, for mixing, editing and producing this podcast. To the brilliant, who will we go for today? Leah Moore and Anthony Manley. Let's do that one first, for their gorgeous theme music, lads. Thank you so much. And to the phenomenal Connor Nolan for his beautiful artwork. Connor, thanks a million, as always. And to the main men, Alan Bennett and Paddy O'Leary, for having us a part of the network, the Head Stuff Podcast Network. Go and check out the ream of other podcasts here. There's so much good stuff going on. And tune back in next week when Aisling O'Mara plays Personality Bingo with Tom Moore.